Welcome to Radio Naturopath, the call-in talk show about health and natural medicine. I am Fran Storch, ND, naturopathic physician. My co-host Ron Meniza is off to the sun. If you'd like to participate in the conversation about natural medicine, you can call me at radionaturopath@gmail.com. If you'd like to listen to the show at another time, you can check out our podcast at whus.org. You can also check out my Facebook page, Twitter, and Instagram at Fran Storch, ND. All right. I'm very excitedly waiting for our guest to call in. It will be Dr. Kurt Beil, and we're going to talk about something really great and really appropriate for today, which is how great it is to be outdoors. So while we're waiting for that yummy phone call to come in, let's talk about being outdoors. So one of the things I want to remind you is, hey, it's sunny out, and you might not have been thinking about that too much because, it's been cold and rainy, and, you know, it hasn't been great weather to be outdoors. We are going to get a great day today, and, yeah, we are probably going to get some, some rainy weather in the next few days. You know what they say, April showers bring May flowers, and what do May flowers bring? Pilgrims. So that's going on. But the nice thing is you get to go outside, and some of the nice things about being in the sun are that you get to make some great stuff. Your body makes some great stuff for you that makes you feel better. That's a little bit harder to make in those darker, colder times of year when you're hiding indoors or when you're just more covered up. It was such a pleasure to walk from the parking garage to WHUS today. It was so sunny out. The sun was higher in the sky. It was really bright and was a clear blue sky. It was so exciting. So I was busy making a bit of vitamin D because vitamin D is not just a vitamin, it's a hormone. And when you expose your skin to the sun without sunscreen on, you do get to make vitamin D. It's really the best way to do it. It is harder to make vitamin D in Connecticut because the sun doesn't get high enough in the sky to make a lot of vitamin D. And it only gets high enough in the sky to make it for 6 months out of the year. So making your vitamin D is a great way to get out and be in the sun. So we are just about to have Dr. Kurt on the phone. I am very excited about this. So I am just going to go ahead and put him on. And then here we go. Let's see if this works. Dr. Kurt, are you there?
Hello.
Hi. You're famous. Hi. You're on Radio Naturopath.
That's fun.
So I'm very pleased to introduce our guest today, Dr. Kurt Beil. Dr. Kurt is a naturopathic physician and licensed acupuncturist who practices in Ridgefield, Connecticut and the nearby Lower Hudson River Valley in New York. He completed a postdoctoral research fellowship focusing on the physical and mental health effects of natural and built urban environments, from which he's published numerous peer-reviewed evidence-based papers. I didn't know this about you. On the physiological impacts of nature on health. He holds a master's degree in public health. Awesome. Focused on the benefits of parks as a sustainable public health promotion tool and speaks and writes regularly about these topics. He frequently encourages his patients to experience the healing power of nature and gets out to walk his talk for hiking and kayaking as often as possible. Kurt, welcome to Radio Naturopath. How are things out there in Westchester County?
They are pretty fantastic. It's a gorgeous day. I just got back from a nice walk along the Hudson River.
Awesome.
I live in Tarrytown, so
I'm
looking at the Tappan Zee Bridge right now. Tappan Zee Bridge. Yep. And it's another beautiful day.
Oh, that is so great.
It's a spring day.
It's so pretty out there, and you get to see the Headless Horseman every year.
That's right. Yeah, the parade goes right down Main Street, and they do the whole thing, and it's a whole big deal, and Absolutely.
That's really exciting. I've never done that. I've never been in Tarrytown for Halloween. I bet it's really busy too.
Oh yeah, yeah. No, well, you have to come out sometime. It's a great time, and it's super fun.
Yeah.
Super fun.
So it's really great. Go ahead.
Yeah. Oh, I was going to say for anybody that's seen the movie, the cartoon, and everything, at the end with the. He rides across the bridge and he throws the pumpkin and stuff. I mean, that actual bridge is, 4 blocks from where I am right now.
Oh, that's really neat.
It's super fun.
Yeah, it is. Okay. Maybe a fun thing would be to visit, like, not on Halloween, so I could, like, get the tour.
Fran, you are welcome anytime.
Yeah, I would enjoy that. Okay, so let's talk about being outside. So this is your wheelhouse. All about how great. I mean, it seems really obvious to you and me, but not everybody knows. Not only is it great to be outside, just because, but there are health reasons why it's good to be outside. So why don't you go ahead and start? Why is it so important for our health to get outside?
Sure. So you're right. I mean, it sounds like a no-brainer. You don't have to twist anybody's arm to say, well, would you rather sit inside in a windowless conference room or your office, or go outside and on a nice sunny day? I mean, everybody inherently gets that. But what has been happening in maybe the last 30 years is that we've been doing research to see, just how beneficial and, in what ways is it beneficial. And it turns out there's a lot. Pretty much every way that we measure, it is of incredible health benefit to us just as human beings. That goes from the physical. So there have been studies that look at heart rate and blood pressure, that just being outside is inherently relaxing to our cardiovascular system, our heart, our blood vessels, our breathing rates go down. And this is all, these have all been done in studies that, they compare people that were inside and outside, and it's kind of hard to do what we call a double blind study. I mean, people obviously are aware of what their environment is. I mean, that's kind of the thing that we're measuring, but the benefits are more than you would think they are. We do studies looking at different hormones and things like cortisol, which people may have heard of. Maybe you've talked about it on your show, right? Everybody knows of cortisol as the stress hormone.
Yes, and, indeed.
And certainly, if anybody's listening that doesn't have stress in their life, please call in, because I'd love to hear from you. I haven't met anybody yet. But we all have stresses in our life. And turns out that just spending time outside actually is beneficial for the way that the body regulates those hormones like cortisol. There's a study that just came out, just published, I think, 2 weeks ago, maybe a month ago, basically proving that as little as 20 minutes outside is enough to significantly lower your level of cortisol.
And so that's just standing outside, not necessarily exercising.
That's right. That's right. Yeah. I mean, this study looked at both. I looked at walking around as one part of the study, and then as sitting as another part of the study. And both parts found that just 20 minutes, going to a park and sitting, putting your phone away, very important, turning it off if possible, and just, enjoying, relaxing, just being. That's what I call settling in. This is something that I work with people a lot about, because stress is a major contributor to all kinds of health issues. And so I talk to them about settling in to the space and giving it enough time. And I've always been saying 20 minutes, half hour. I've been doing this work for, almost 15 years now, which is ridiculous. But, so I've been saying that for a long time. And so it's nice to have a study that comes out that kind of shows what it's always nice to be supported by the research, just to have those cortisol levels drop. So if somebody is stressed out with work stuff, or home, kids, or stuff, or money stuff, or God forbid you listen to the news ever,
right?
Getting away from all of that and just sitting and relaxing and being out in in a park, by a river, by a lake, wherever you happen to have access to, can really have some significant benefits to, like I said, cortisol, to blood pressure, and a bunch of other things. And then the mental health benefits as well. There have been all kinds of studies looking at both benefits to positive and negative aspects of mental health. And so in psychology, we look at the difference between, you know, positive aspects, you know, feeling joy, feeling excitement, feeling, you know, supported and happy. Those are different measures than the, you know, negative aspects of, you know, depression, anxiety, you know, those types of things. And the studies are pretty clear that for both the positive and negative aspects of mental health, just being outside is, you know, is incredible for most people. So it's just, you know, I could go on, and I believe that I'm coming back in a couple weeks and coming out to visit you, which I'm
yes.
excited about, and we can spend a whole hour talking about all that stuff. So this is just kind of a teaser,
yes,
all about that. But you know, when the weather's nice like it is today, or this weekend, you know, Earth Day is coming up this weekend.
Yes,
so it's always, you know, always a good time to get people outside, and you know, if you got families, you know, go and get your kids. And there's probably lots of activities going on, you know, in your area. Go find something. If you don't have anything, you know, it's a great, it'll be a great weekend for gardening. Gardening is one of the most therapeutic things that people can do just all around. You know, I always encourage people to do that. If you don't have any of that, you know, there's always ways to bring nature indoors, buying houseplants, getting nice pictures of, you know, you have a, you know, national park that you always want to visit or did visit and had a great time there. You know, just putting that up on your wall or, you know, even on your screensaver on your computer or on your background on your phone. All these little things add up. We need nature in our lives. We you know, that's what we are adapted for. That's what we're designed for, is to have it. And, you know, we really miss it when it's not there. So just trying to get that word out as much as possible.
Yeah, I just wonder if people realize just how important it is and just how much they do miss it. And, you know, where I live, we have a lot of people who are, you know, they work really hard. We don't have a lot of, we don't have as many wealthy people in this end of the state. And so people are working and they're working a lot and they have very busy yeah. lives. And they're not necessarily getting outdoors like they want to. Here I'm at the University of Connecticut, and there are a lot of people, there are people who have, like you said, windowless offices. And then there are some who have offices with windows, thank goodness. But I don't know if people realize that some of the great health benefits. So when you say, just to get into it a little bit, we say sure. one of the things that happens is that cortisol goes down. Do they have any idea of a mechanism of action for that?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, let me see. Because they have a few. So the essence of it has to do with our inherent the inherent way that our bodies, our brains, our senses are designed, are adapted. And so just to preface this, you know, one of the ways that I got into all of this is in undergrad, my major was evolutionary biology.
Nice.
And so, yeah. And so I, you know, I was trained, you know, in that undergrad process to look at, you know, okay, well, as human beings, what are we most, you know, adapted to? What is our best fit? You know, we talk about evolutionary fitness. And of course, for all of human history, except for the last couple hundred years, which is nothing, you know, our ancestors were connected to the land in some way, whether as, you know, 1,000 years ago, you know, most people were farmers, or even if they weren't, you know, cities were small and you know, we're living, you know, very connected to the land. Or, you know, if you go back, you know, thousands and tens of thousands of years, you know, in hundreds of thousands of years to our, you know, our prehistoric ancestors, they were all living in contact with the natural environment all the time. And so that's what their bodies, their brains, and their sensory nervous systems are adapted to. And so it just, that's baseline for what our, for what our bodies consider to be home.
Right.
Right. There's a reason why, you know, people, you know, go camping. Even if you're not an outdoorsy person, a lot of times, you know, just standing around a fire, you know, just there's something very, you know, supportive and you know, it just feels right. It feels good to do that. And that's because that's how, you know, that's how our ancestors lived for, you know, for all of human history, except for very recently. And so our body reacts to that and, you know, just kind of settles into like, yeah, this feels right. This is what I you know, I understand. It's instinctual. And cortisol and all those types of things reduce as a result. You know, for the most part, the natural environment is very supportive. It's very safe. You know, you go out to a park, you go out in the woods. You know, nothing is really going to happen to you much. I mean, yes, there is always the risk of, you know, that bear attack or whatnot, but those things are very rare. For anybody that's listening, is like, oh, I'm not going out into the woods. You know, forget that. You know, that's not for me. You know, that's understandable, but that's also a kind of, that's a cultural conditioning.
Yeah.
That comes. That's not a biological response.
Yeah, most of the time, animals around here, like if we go out in the woods, like, you know, if you come here and we go hiking in Mansfield Hollow. We'll be lucky if we see a fearsome animal. I mean, may be, I'm not sure if there are bears around here. We've definitely got our share of deer, and we'll be lucky if we see a deer. And if the deer sees you, they're going to skitter away from you. We've got turkeys. We do have the fisher cat, but the fisher cat's not going to bother you. Every so often we hear them screaming. That's exciting. We do have, although the DEEP denies it, we have, oh my goodness, it's either the bobcat or the mountain lion. We might have both. We have I think we have bobcats around here, because I've actually seen a big cat scooting across the road around here. That you have to be a little bit careful of, but I mean, I've seen one once in my, you know, almost 20 years of living in this area. So they're not interested in you. They're interested in their prey. Mostly what you're going to see is plants. And bugs.
Exactly. And so you know, when we look at, you know, why is this healthy for us, you know, the very passive kind of soothing sensory experience of just being out, you know, in a beautiful forest or a meadow or you know, nice rolling hills with, you know, the sun and the trees moving in the wind. And maybe the sound of, you know, a creek or something like that. That's all very relaxing and restorative to us.
Yes.
Right. And so a lot of times when people do visualizations or guided imagery work, right, it's always in some type of natural setting, right?
Yes.
Nobody comes in and says, "Oh, I'm super stressed out," and then you say, "Okay, I want you to imagine you're in downtown traffic, we're going off and." In all this, right? That's not relaxing. That's not therapeutic.
No,
it's those nature experiences that do that. I mean, I could talk for a while about, you know, autonomic nervous system function and, you know, parasympathetic response and all of that. Maybe we can get into that next time. But
yeah,
I mean, all those things are that's kind of how it works.
So before we wrap up, after all, it is Earth Day on Monday, and why don't we can speak to our sense of connectedness to nature. Earth Day is a celebration where we reconnect to the earth and we do some mindful things. I mean, there are things you should be doing for the earth all the time, but Earth Day is a time where we come together as a nation and we become mindful about our connectedness to the earth. How are some people celebrating Earth Day, and what are some good ways that people can celebrate Earth Day, whether it's formal or not?
Sure. You know, I mean, the best thing is just to be outside somewhere doing something. you know, if that's all you do, that's enough. There are a lot of organized activities that go on in people's areas. There's a lot of things like cleanup, which are really important. Looking at your local parks, whether that's city park, county park, state park, most of them usually have some type of event. Maybe it's not this weekend specifically. Maybe it's the weekend after. I just had one in a town a little bit away from here this past weekend. So they're all throughout the whole month of April usually. That's a great way to get out and get moving, to meet other people, and to really get connected to this thing that we're trying to do, which is all be good stewards of this beautiful planet that we have.
Mm-hmm.
In doing that, we feel that connection. Right? One of the main things in this work is that it's important to, or it's beneficial to recognize that we're all living being together on this planet. That's a huge thing on an individual level. There's actually a study that just came out that showed that the more people feel connected to their surroundings, specifically to the natural environment, and the more that they feel like, oh yeah, I'm a part of this this thing that's bigger than me, the happier they are, the less depressed they are, the lower their blood pressure, like all the different measures that I mentioned. Those things are all supported by feeling a sense of belonging and connection, rather than a sense of isolation and just, oh, I'm just living in my own personal life, not dependent on anything else. So let me see. Like I said, gardening is great. For people that are gardeners, I don't need to tell you that the time is here. I know lots of my gardener friends are always get super excited this time of year to get out and figure out what plant friends they're going to be spending the next couple months with. For people that haven't gardened before but maybe have thought about it, it's really not a barrier. There's nothing to hold you back from doing it. People have been growing things for a long time. You're not going to make things worse by doing it. Even if you just buy a couple plants and keep in pots on a patio, if that's all you have, that's great. Just something that something to help you feel like that level of connection to this beautiful world that we live in.
Yeah, that's great. One of the things I try to tell people to do is, I have when people are stressed, because like you said, have you met a person with no stress? I haven't. of the things, pretty much whenever a patient comes in, I talk to them about what's going on in their lives that's stressing them. And I talk to them about addressing their direct stressors. And then I also usually give them a list of restorative activities. And of course, one of those restorative activities is leisure walks in nature, or just being in your favorite nature. And people differ as to what their favorite nature is. Like, some people like to be by water, and some people want to be at the beach. Some people want to be in the mountains. Some people want to be in the woods.
Yeah.
So I talk to people about what's your favorite, what do you feel drawn to, and encourage them to go there. And I tell them things like, that being in nature is a treatment for your irritable bowel syndrome. Being in nature is a treatment for your chronic pain. It's not just, it's a nice esoteric thing to be out there in nature. You're literally, like you said, you're lowering your cortisol. You're getting your negative ions. There's a whole bunch of actual things that you're doing being out in nature that are actually working to heal whatever condition that you have going on. And it's like you said, the first one, the minute you step outside, your cortisol starts to go down. So you're going to feel better. You're going to feel less stressed.
So. That's right. That's right. Yeah. It's so obvious in some ways that it often gets dismissed.
Right.
That can't be actually doing anything. Part of that is, and we can get into this next time.
Yeah.
I don't want to go off on that tangent, but it's just a different way of looking what health is and how we determine what health is and how we manage it in terms of, you know, do I take a pill for this or do I actually do something, you know, in my life?
Like going, amazing around here in Mansfield and Storrs, we have some beautiful parks. We have all of Mansfield Hollow, which is this, I forget how many acres, Ron will remember, but many, many acre state park that was put together by the, the New Deal, Army Corps of Engineers, and there's a lake and a dam, and it's gorgeous, and lots of trails. And that's not the only one. We've got what people walk by the Fenton River here. We have 50 foot. We have we have Cooney Rock. So we have like actual trails. And then we have the Nipmuc Trail, where it's just the Blue Dot Trail, and you can walk from the Nipmuc Trail from here all the way up into Massachusetts. It's just phenomenal. And I can't tell you how many people. So what are you doing for exercise these days? Well, I walk sometimes. So when was the last time you went for a walk? Maybe 3 weeks ago. I haven't been outside because, you know, it's been really hot. It's been really cold. It's been really rainy. And I hear people don't, they don't make friends with what nature does. Like they don't put together clothes, or they don't put together situations where they can be out in nature in various conditions, that they're so acclimated to being in a controlled climate that people are not used to being in nature in its various incarnations. Yeah. I mean, yesterday it was chilly and sunny and windy. So there are clothes for that. Today it's going to be very sunny and not so windy and a little bit warmer. So there's clothes for that. If it's raining out, it can be really lovely to go for, maybe not if it's absolutely pouring and windy, but it can be really lovely to go for a drizzly hike in the woods. You can feel the earth breathing and you can smell the soil metabolizing, and you're getting the benefits of all those. There's a lot of like literal compounds, and there's a lot of wonderful energy that's going on there.
Oh, absolutely, yeah. You know, so I got my start, you know, doing outdoor stuff when I was a kid. You know, the Cub Scouts and Boy Scouts and all of that, and nature camps in the summer. And you know, we used to say all the time, you know, there's no such thing as bad weather, just inappropriate gear.
Right on.
You know, so. You know, it can be a mindset, and certainly for people that are hesitant, definitely if it's cold and windy and rainy and all that stuff, there is a tendency to say, oh, I just want to stay inside, and certainly there's days to do that. But, you know, for people that feel like, I really want to get outside, but I don't know about the weather, you know, I would definitely encourage people to try and get over that barrier and you know, go and figure out ways to do it anyway. Like you said, I mean, there are people whose job it is, you know, is to do that. I mean, there's plenty of stuff online. People can definitely ask friends. If anybody's out there listening and, you know, you're on the fence but not sure, and you have some outdoorsy friend, absolutely ask them. You know, we love to share this stuff with other people. You know, I mean, if I had a friend that's like, oh, I want to go for a hike, but I'm not sure, I'd be like, yes, please let me help you do this and you know, feel this bug that I feel about like how good it is to get out no matter what the weather is. So
yeah.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. You know, and one of the nice things about this too, is that, it is very, it is very accessible to most people, right? There's not, getting out and, you know, flying all the way out to Yellowstone or Yosemite or Arches or the Grand Canyon or something like that. Like, yeah, that's, not everybody get a chance to do that. But you know, we have really beautiful stuff around here that, doesn't really cost anything.
Really do. New England is gorgeous. You just have to know where to go. And probably whatever town you're in, it's probably not too hard to get from your town to somewhere where, I mean, a lot of the New England towns, if they're more rural, they've got stuff right in the town. But I mean, if you're in New Haven or Bridgeport or something, you might have to go further afield. Having said that, if you are in a city, there are always parks. Even Bridgeport has, has that lovely waterfront park near the school.
Sure.
Yeah,
sure, absolutely.
So that's a really good thing to do. If you do live in a city, find out where the parks are. And because parks can be a wonderful respite from whatever you've got going on. And that's what they're there for. They're there for you to get some nature conveniently in the city.
That's right. Absolutely. And not only are that that's what the physical spaces are for, but that's what the people that work there are for.
Yes.
You know, that's their job, is to help people access that more. And so, you know, whether it's in the city or, you know, out in the country, you know, looking at a local state park or whatever, you know, go to their website, give them a call, say, hey, I'm looking for a place around me that that I can come and you know, just go for a walk, but I'm hesitant, I'm a beginner, I don't know really what I'm doing. Like, is there anywhere that you would recommend? Like, that's their job, is to yeah. help people figure those things out. So, so yeah, it's really been, really accessible to a lot of people. You know, the one other thing I did want to say real quick is this is really, really valuable for families. To do together, it can be a really great experience to share with, you know, with your kids. And it's really important, because it's exposure as a kid that gets people, aware of and, in touch with, all these benefits and all these, values that we've been talking about. And, you know, that's important now more than ever, because frankly, you know, these things are in decline. People are not getting outside as much as they used to for a variety of reasons, and that's an issue for you know, personal health, for public health, and for the health of our ecosystems and our, you know, the nature itself. You know, we need people out there getting in touch with nature, feeling that connection, feeling that it's important, feeling that it's worth preserving and taking care of. And that really starts, you know, with the next generation, you know, helping them understand why it's important. You know, for most people, if they look back at their childhood, there was a, you know, they have a special place that, you know, they loved going to. You know, maybe it was a park, maybe it was you know, the woods, maybe it was the beach, whatever it is. But, you know, we all have something like that. And if we don't work to take care of and protect all that, you know, the ability to have those places and preserve them is going to be lost. It's already starting, right, frankly. And it's really important to get kids out there, not just for their own health, but so they can feel that that benefit and want to take care of it when they get older and are able to do so, and, you know, then have kids of their own and on and on. It's just really important.
I find if you show a child something and you show them your enthusiasm about that thing, the child will usually take it up. Unless there's something really, really wrong. Most children, if you present to them, hey, it would be really great if we did this. Look how great it is. This is so exciting. So if you take them to the beach and you show them a great time at the beach, the child's going to think the beach is great. If you take the child on a hike and you have a really fun time on the hike and you see really cool stuff, child's going to think hiking is great. You know, one of the things we see in the bicycling community, we see that, you know, kids don't ride bikes, but why are kids not riding bikes? Because the parents aren't giving them to them. But we have an organization in the state, the Connecticut Cycling Advancement Program, that encourages children to ride bikes. And guess what happens when you put them in CCAP? They ride bikes. So if you think your kids are not going to want to be outside, take them outside and show them your enthusiasm for outdoors. Get enthusiastic yourself, and they're going to love it. And like you said, you're going to set up your generation, the next generation, for a happier, healthy life.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, and there's groups that do that kind of work. You know, I know the National Environmental Education Foundation, or fund, NEEF. That's their whole focus is exactly the same thing. How to get kids outside and make it fun and exciting for them. They've got a lot of resources to look up. You know, there's just lots of groups out there, you know, Audubon Society, you know, all kinds of people. So
we have Audubon Society up in Pomfret. We have enough. So if you're interested in, anybody listening to me is interested in connecting with the Audubon Society, we've got a location in Pomfret, Connecticut. It's not too far from here. So yeah. You can go up there, and they have programs. They have a, you know, a building and the stuff that that you can connect with up there. So so I think what we're going to do is Dr. Kurt's going to come back on June the 5th. And yeah. We'll be a little bit deeper into the spring. It'll be almost be summer. And at that time, I think what we're going to do is we're going to geek out a little bit more. We're going to get some more, like you'll talk about the autonomic nervous system and cortisol and negative ions. What does that really mean? And, you know, some of the sciencey stuff around why nature is so good for you and also how you can get involved in nature. But we want to remind you that Earth Day is Monday, and get outside any way that you can. Get to your local's farmer's market, start doing your gardening, just get out in your yard. And as we said, if you're listening in this immediate area, we've got all these great parks in Mansfield and Storrs and in the greater area. So Dr. Kurt, if somebody wanted to get hold of you, how do they get hold of you?
Sure. Probably easiest is through my website, HudsonValleyNaturalHealth.com.
Mm-hmm.
You can also check me out on Facebook or Instagram as Kurt Beal, NDLACMPH.
I pronounced your name wrong. I'm so sorry.
Everybody does. That's okay. It's in German. It is Beal.
Uh-huh.
But I guess you know.
Also, Beal. Bile is very important, and that's something we could get into as well.
We could talk all about that stuff, absolutely. Talk about it every day with people, as I'm sure you do too.
But it's Beal.
Yeah. It's Beal, yeah. So yeah. That's how we say it. So.
That's cool.
But everybody says Beal.
Well, right, like you said. So, all right. So that's wonderful.
Yeah.
So Hudson Valley.
One other plug, if I could.
You bet.
Yeah, so there's also not this weekend, but the next weekend, April 28th, that is National Park Prescription Day. So there's a group called Park RX, you know, RX stands for prescription. So Park RX, and it's the parkrx.org. And that whole thing is a pairing of the National, why am I blanking right now? The National Park Service. You know, is really interested in this health aspect of getting people outside. And so there are events going on that day as well. So it's Sunday, April 28th. And people can check that out, parkrx.org, if there's anything going on in your, your area.
Excellent.
That's for really education cool. around these topics. So.
Great.
Yeah.
Well, gosh, thank you so much for calling in, Dr. Kurt. It was so great to talk
Absolutely.
To you again. And,
Absolutely.
We will talk to you again soon. We're going to have you back on Radio Naturopath on Wednesday, June 5th. And then I get to show you this area, which will be really great.
I'll come out there and we'll hang out in the studio and then go and take a dose of our own medicine. So
that's right. That will be awesome. So thank you so much for calling. It was really great to talk with you. And
Absolutely.
Everybody, in honor of what Dr. Kurt and I have been talking about, please get outside, especially today. It's so gorgeous out. Get outside. It's so good for you.
That's right. It's one of the best things you can do.
Yes. All right. Take care, Dr. Kurt. We'll talk to you in a couple of weeks.
All right. Thanks, Dr. Fran. We'll talk to you soon.
You betcha. Bye now.
Bye.
So that was Dr. Kurt Beal, and I've been pronouncing it wrong all this time. Silly me. Do take a dose of that medicine. It is really great to get outside. So I'll pick up where I left off. I just want to remind you that you want to watch out for your allergies because the pollen is really high right now. I was out on my bike and I saw those little red oak flowers. They're very cute and they're just all over the road and stuff. So there is a lot of pollen in the air right now. So cleaning your nose out is really important. Use your neti pot. That's a great way to do it. If you're not a big neti pot fan, you can use nasal irrigators. You can use nasal spray. There are nasal sprays that you can get that have just saline in them. There's nasal sprays with saline, xylitol, and grapefruit seed extract. Because one of the things with allergic rhinitis, with nasal allergies, is that you do have some critters growing in your nose most of the time. You have some bacteria and mold. So if you put things in there that are antimicrobial, that's going to lower your level of inflammation. So when you do get pollen in your nose, you're not going to experience the pollen as much. It won't be as inflammatory because you don't have other things raising your threshold of experiencing the inflammatory symptoms. Here's something I wanted to let people know. I had an interesting conversation with a patient yesterday, and we were talking about fall allergies. This patient said she had fall allergies, and we talked about how there are how that's when the ragweed is growing, and that darn golden seal. Everybody thinks they have a gold, not, I'm sorry, not golden seal, goldenrod. People think they have a goldenrod allergy. Guess what? It is very, very unlikely that you have a goldenrod allergy. People think that they have a goldenrod allergy because their allergies are kicked up when the goldenrod is blooming. And the goldenrod often blooms near the ragweed because it likes to grow on distressed soil. So disrupted soil by the roadside, places, you know, construction sites, places where there's been construction or where they've taken the trees out, like we have. So we were on the power lines where they took the trees out by our house. We have a lot of goldenrod that grows there. Goldenrod is a lovely, wonderful plant, and you're unlikely to be allergic to it. The pollen that grows on goldenrod is just too big and too cumbersome to get into your nose and do any damage. So goldenrod actually is a wonderful anti-inflammatory plant. If you take tincture of goldenrod, it can help with your allergies. It can also help with your urinary tract infection. It can also help with your musculoskeletal pain topically and in tinctures. So the reason people think that they have a goldenrod allergy is because it blooms at the same time and near the ragweed. But it's unlikely that you do. So goldenrod is your friend. It's a lovely, lovely plant. Solidago. Solidarity with Solidago. Yes, let's go with that. Raw honey. There's some evidence that raw honey can be helpful to reduce your allergies. So raw honey, the best kind of, to make it raw, really raw, it's probably going to be that honey that's not liquid, that's sort of hard at room temperature. It's still got some of the beeswax in it because it hasn't been heated above 120 degrees Fahrenheit. So it's going to maintain some of the flavonoids and the antimicrobial benefits and some of the low-level antigens that help your body become accustomed to the pollen so that you don't react to it so much. I like to remind people about hibiscus, even though hibiscus doesn't necessarily grow. There are ornamental hibiscuses that grow around here. But, you know, the medicinal hibiscus has wonderful flavonoids in it and vitamin C that are anti-inflammatory and can help you with your allergies. Hibiscus also happens to be a great cardiac tonic. So if you have high blood pressure and also allergies, hibiscus is your friend. I love alfalfa as well. So having alfalfa as an herb in your tea with your nettles is great. Alfalfa and nettles together, it's like a natural multivitamin. So if you can mix up a tea of nettles, hibiscus, alfalfa, even oat straw, you've got a great tea that's both that's calming as well as anti-inflammatory and great for your allergies. Nettles, hibiscus, and alfalfa and oat straw. And if you want something lemony, you can throw in some lemongrass or lemon balm in there, and then it'll have a nice lemony. And if you generally prefer tea with a little bit of caffeine in it, then throw in some green tea. Green tea is also great for your allergies. So if you combine green tea, nettles, hibiscus, and alfalfa, and oat straw, you'll have a very healthy tea that's going to help you with your allergies. And if you want to throw a bit of honey in there, or if you want it a little bit sweet, a tiny splash of juice, preferably something with a lot of flavonoids like pomegranate, that would be a great tonic to have. And you could drink that every day, and it'd be a really nice thing to have. Now that I've said all that, I think I'm going to go home and make it. I have to find myself some alfalfa. I've got some hibiscus, and I've got to find my nettles. I think I have some nettles around. And if not, before too long, the nettles are going to be blooming, and you'll be able to find them and collect them. Obviously, if you have to look up what nettles look like, and you have to get the right one. You have to get Urtica dioica, the long, narrow knees, not the short, squat leaves. And the short, squat leaves, the Urtica urens, that's a more common nettle. So you have to look for the Urtica dioica. And obviously, when you harvest it, you have to wear gloves because it will hurt you if you don't. It will sting you. It has little stingers that will make formic acid in your hands. It's like you're being bitten by ants. And so the funny thing is, once you put nettles in water, all of that goes away, and then it's completely benign, and you can eat it like a green. You can eat it in soup, and you can take it as tea, and it's not going to bother you at all. Very interesting. Don't forget, if you're cleaning your nose, you want to also make sure that you gargle, because when you clean your nose, some of the stuff, the mucus with the pollen in it and the inflammatory compounds, drips to the back of your throat. And when it's sitting there, you want to get that out. So you want to gargle and get that out. Like I said, the pollen is really high out there. Make sure you drink lots of water, lots of fluids. You can drink lots of herbal tea or green tea or even black tea. But get well hydrated, because if you need to get mucus out of your system, then the more hydrated you are, the more mucus you're going to have, and the more you're going to be able to clean out your passages. So just good reminder about that. The other thing I wanted to remind you of is, remember, there's the Environmental Working Group's Dirty Dozen and the Clean 15. So it's actually the Dirty Dozen Plus, because there's more than 12 items that you need to stay away from. So there are certain produce that the Environmental Working Group recommends that you do not eat unless they are organic, because the pesticide levels are just too high. So I don't like to tell people if the only thing you have access to is produce with pesticides on it, then I would consider getting a pesticide watch. You can get pesticide washes at the health food store. You can also use a mild soap that rinses off well, and that will help to get a lot of the pesticides off. But the only issue is that if something is growing in pesticides, the pesticides are throughout the plant. So if you can avoid these and still eat a good amount of produce, these are the plants to avoid if they are not organic because of the level of pesticides. And they are ready. Strawberries. Strawberries are, they just spray them a lot because bugs really like them. And if they're not organic, the bugs are going to be attracted to them. Number two is spinach. Spinach, again, it's kind of a delicate leaf. And when it's not organic, they spray it a lot. Number three is nectarines. Now, nectarines are not in season yet, but when they do come in season, they're so good. But unfortunately, if they're not organic, they can have a lot of pesticides on them. Apples, something we eat all the time, and they spray them with waxes, and they adhere to the surface of the skin, and it's hard to get off. So it's really better to eat apples that have not been sprayed. Grapes, that's a big one, and we love to eat our grapes, and often grapes are coming from far away and in countries where they don't have the same kinds of laws we do around pesticides, and they can be really full of pesticides. Peaches as well. Peaches and cherries are not in season yet, but they, unfortunately, because they have thin skins, we tend to eat the whole fruit. They hold on to the pesticides. Pears is another one. And see, apples and pears around here, it's easy to find organic or unsprayed ones. So that's an easy one to get unsprayed. So I do recommend that. Tomatoes, the thing is, tomatoes you want to eat in season anyway. They're not that great this time of year because they're coming from somewhere far away, or they're made in a hothouse. Again, we eat the skin, so they've got pesticide that adheres to them. Celery is another one. So celery, you eat the whole thing, and it retains the pesticides as well. Potatoes. The thing with potatoes, unfortunately, is potatoes are something you get when you go out to eat. And so unless you're going to a dedicated organic restaurant, it's unlikely that the potatoes you're getting in your home fries are organic. So unfortunately, they're going to have pesticides on them as well. If you are eating non-organic potatoes, I would scrub them very well with mild soap or with a pesticide wash. And that in that case, I would probably peel the potatoes. I don't like to tell people to peel the potatoes because there's a lot of nutrients in the potato skin. So better to get organic and eat the skin. If not, if you have to get non-organic potatoes, then I would peel them. Sweet bell peppers. So bell peppers, regardless of the color, if they are not organic, not a good idea. Again, because they have that thin skin and they get sprayed, doesn't work. And hot peppers as well, if they're not organic. So that again can becomes an issue when you're eating at Mexican restaurant or southwestern style restaurants, that are not necessarily Mexican, because you don't know where the peppers are coming from. Kale. Now, we love to tell you to eat kale, but kale gets sprayed a lot when it's not organic. And, I mean, if you're going to eat kale already, probably you should eat organic. So good for you. All right. And there are, and then there's the Clean 15, where because of the nature of the plant, they don't get sprayed as much. They're not, the pesticide sprays that they use are not as toxic, or they're easy to clean up. And because you're eating the inside of them, they have a good hull, or, you know, it's just that the pesticides don't adhere to them as well, or they don't spray as much. So they are as follows. Avocados, because they have that heavy skin. Sweet corn. The only issue with corn is that corn can be genetically modified. So if you don't know if it's genetically modified or not, if it's not organic, you don't want to do it. Pineapples. Again, they have a heavy rind on it that you don't eat. Cabbage, I would guess that's because they don't spray that, like the spray isn't as heavy, or they don't need to spray them as much because they have heavy leaves. Onions, again, they have a big, they have an onion skin that covers them up. Papaya, that's another one. Papaya, again, a heavy skin. Asparagus. Now, asparagus is interesting. They may not need to spray them as much because they're very hardy. Mangoes, again, the heavy skin, right? Eggplant as well. Honeydew melon. So honeydew melon have that heavy rind that you don't tend to eat. Kiwis. Now, kiwis, some people eat the skin, some people don't. I eat the skin because, you know, I figure there's going to be some good things in that kiwi skin. So I do eat it. I do tend to get the kiwis organic because I do eat the whole thing, but apparently they're not sprayed as heavily. So they're on the Clean 15. Cantaloupe as well. So both melons, the cantaloupe and the honeydew melon. What's not on here that's interesting that I'm not sure about is watermelon. Watermelon doesn't say whether, I would guess that watermelon should be on this list because, again, it's a melon just like the others. So any melon is not going, you're not eating the rind. So, and it's such a heavy rind that you're not eating it. So I would throw watermelon on there as well. Cauliflower and broccoli. So cauliflower and broccoli, again, they're hardy, so they probably don't have to be sprayed as much. So there you go. There's your dirty dozen plus and your Clean 15. So if you are looking to save some money, then you can look at the Clean 15 and don't worry about whether they're organic or not. The issue is the things that tend to be leafy, like we saw that kale and spinach are on the dirty dozen. So I would extrapolate that to most leafy greens. And understand that, because they're small and they're leafy, they're going to retain, they're going to tend to retain the pesticides, unfortunately. It's going to be harder to get them off. All right. So there's some interesting issues for you. All right. And so let's see. So let's talk about, I want to talk about why protein is good for you, and maybe I'll start that, but I might go back to it because protein is really good for you, and people are not sure how much they should eat, so let's get started on it as a teaser. We want you to eat your protein. Protein has a lot of great health benefits. What you need to eat protein because protein helps to rebuild your body. It helps to, all of your tissues have protein in them. And if you don't eat enough protein, it's hard for you to rebuild your muscles. It's hard to rebuild your organs. And it also happens to be when you eat more protein helps you to feel more satisfied. So the more protein you eat, the less likely you are to overeat other things, especially carbs and starches and sugars. So I think we're going to get into that next week. So that's your teaser. We're going to talk about why protein is so great for you, and we're going to do that next week. And I think that I'm going to wrap it up here. Let's see. All right. So you are listening to you. So that was a great show today because it was so great to have Dr. Kurt on and to talk about why it's great to be outside. And I do want to remind you to get back outside there. You've been listening to Radio Naturopath, the call-in talk show about health and natural medicine. I'm Fran Storch, ND, naturopathic physician. You can also email me with questions and comments at radionaturopath@gmail.com. If you'd like to listen to this show at another time, you can check out our podcast at whus.org. You can also leave questions or comments at my Facebook page, Twitter, and Instagram at Fran Storch, ND. Thank you for listening to Radio Naturopath, your show where you can learn about the best of science and nature. We'll be back with more Radio Naturopath next week at 91.7 FM, WHUS Stores.